from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. First time in the offseason, first time in the studio in a while, John.
Feels like a long time and not long at all, right? It's kind of how that kind of thing works.
It's good to be back.
We've been in the hallway for 6 months, and it's time to get out of the hallway and back in the studio.
Back in the nice plush carpeted studio here at Everbank Field. Let's look at the Jaguars this week. It is kind of a quiet week around Everbank Field, of course. The coordinator search is not quiet, though. There have been some names that have popped up that apparently have interviews scheduled with head coach Gus Bradley. We'll talk about that search coming up. Senior Bowl preparations will get underway next week. The week after that is the actual Senior Bowl practice week. We'll preview what the coaching staff will get ready for next week. And then we'll talk the National Football League playoffs with CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist Pete Prisco. He'll also maybe have a little insight to that coordinator situation.
Oh, I'll bet he has some thoughts, JP.
He's never short on Pete, thoughts. Yeah. Of course, you can get it on the show as well, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. We'll take your Twitter questions coming up. Searching for a coordinator, though. Yep. Jed Fish is gone, of course, but now the names are starting to pop out. Kirby Wilson, the Vikings running backs coach, who's been a running backs coach for a long time, has been linked here. Mark Trestman, Greg Roman. Those guys apparently have interviews scheduled at some point. But a lot of fans, I know you hear from a lot of fans that might want this to move faster than it has.
Right, and as I was going over some of this last night and looking at how it's playing out among head coaches in the league, among GMs, there's a pattern to all this in the NFL. And the pattern is that usually the teams with open head coaching vacancies, they move really, really fast, and then they get a short window where they can interview assistants who are on existing playoff teams or teams still in the playoffs. Yeah. And then it sort of comes back to where they get a chance to go back and talk to some of the guys that aren't on playoff teams so that the pace is set by the availability of coordinators. Well, that's particularly true, or assistant coaches. That's particularly true when it comes to coordinators, because if you're looking for an assistant on a team that's still active in the playoffs, you really can't interview them, can't request, can't do anything with them until they're done. And that's a significant difference between the head coach process and the coordinator process. So yes, there are some fans who are saying, why isn't this going faster? We want a guy. It's not time to make it go fast yet if you've got an idea that you want somebody on one of those eight teams. I don't know if Gus has that idea, but it would certainly stand to reason. Successful teams, they have coaches, you'd want one of those guys. So the guys that are here, or not here, but on our list, right, make sense. But I think it's safe to say that that is almost certainly not the comprehensive list yet.
And there's a balance here for Gus Bradley, too, because if he waits on one of those eight teams, and sure, there's a guy on one of those eight teams, and all of a sudden he can't get one of those guys, yep, then he's kind of in a spot where he's stuck. Right?
And he mentioned that after the press conference to talk about Jed Fish and the end of the season broke up. He said that's sort of the dilemma you go through, how fast to move. You've got to get a good gauge. You've got to figure this out. And it's his first time doing this. He hired an entire staff before the Senior Bowl. The Senior Bowl was getting going in 2013. But this is his first time that he's had to get rid of a coach and hire an important position since he's taken over the head job. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic. He's in place. You would think has a very good idea of exactly what he wants based on experience. So it's a different process, and one that I'm sure is – you would think, and I think it's safe to say, taking his every waking moment, maybe some of the sleeping ones too.
Yeah, and you know how he is.
Yeah.
So he's
probably dreaming this right now. I think that's safe to say.
I believe he is. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Pete Prisco coming up shortly. We'll have him live over the telephone today. Well, the question everybody has, John, is how will the new coordinator hire, whenever that happens, affect the quarterback, Blake Bortles, going into year two? And you heard Blake at the end of his season talking about, hey, I really want to get in this playbook and really learn this offense in and out so you can hit the ground running. Well, all that could be up in the air or gone now. Right?
Now, again, he can get a playbook pretty soon after the coordinator gets here. What he can't get is a whole lot of detail from the coordinator. Can't get written notes. He can't get feedback. And that's not ideal, but that's the way it is. Excuse me. But that's the way it is. I think it's important to note that a lot of what Blake wants to work on and what needs to work on, he talked a lot about it the day after the season. Footwork, fundamentals, some of the things, getting the things that he knows he needs to do into muscle memory. And so that's a separate issue. He can still take that kind of time. He can still do that work. And then at that point, it'll be a matter, you would think his schedule is going to be, let's get that done. Let's get as much as we can done, and then let's study the playbook, get as familiar as I can so that I have the right questions, and then in April hit the ground running with the guy. I think particularly important with Blake is to realize the coordinator doesn't necessarily need to be a, quote, quarterback whisperer.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't need to be a guy who is going to come in and be the guy with the hands on Blake all the time. Now, could he be? Will he have impact over him? Sure. But that can also fall to the quarterback's coach. That can be Frank Skelfo. You know, Gus said in the press conference that he wants to keep these guys on staff and will fight for them, will argue for them. But the reality is he also said that it's not going to be a case where he fights that fight at the expense of getting the guy that they need and want. Okay. So that's still very much up in the air. So it's let's see how all this plays out. But you mentioned the name Mark Trestman, and he has a great reputation with quarterbacks. If you want quarterback whisperers coordinator, that's the way you want to go. Sure. On the other hand, this team also needs to improve its running game. It needs to improve in a lot of different areas. So I don't necessarily think that the coordinator position is locked into any one sort of guy.
And that's where you kind of look at Greg Roman. He has a history in the run game, power run game at Stanford with Toby Gerhardt, of all people,
right.
Remember?
So,
and then, on in San Francisco, too.
And my guess is that I'm sure Gus has a pretty good idea of the direction he wants to go. He's also a smart guy who realizes when he went through the interview process, he learned – he's talked a lot about it. He went. He loved Philadelphia. But when he got here, wow, it was the right fit.
Right.
And, you know – I think he sort of knows instinctively that that's the process you want to have happen as he's interviewing coordinators. He may have something in mind, and then when he gets in a room with the guy, sort of like when we get in a room, JP, there's a connection, there's a buzz,
oh, yeah.
And I think he expects that there will be some sort of a, yes, this is the right thing, and he'll know it. He has his ideas, but I'm sure just from what we know about Gus, he also wants to have that interview process and that connection play out, and I'm sure he's looking forward to that.
Of course, as we've mentioned, these names are of reports that names
sure.
that have interviews scheduled, and of course, if anything breaks in the next week or so, you'll hear it right here on Jaguars.com. Let's go to social media. Your favorite, John.
I love me some social
media. I know you do. At JMoreU92 asking, what position do you think is the strongest in free agency? This is a it's a tough question this early, right?
Yeah,
because
it really is.
The teams haven't re-signed guys. All this could change in a few weeks.
Yeah, and that's really the big thing with that. You hear names like Julius Thomas. You hear names like Sue. But until the thing actually plays out, which can take in the last 3 or 4 days before free agency, guys have already been franchised at that point. But you see guys go off the market, and you see this thing change. So to be honest, I haven't dipped heavy into the lists yet, because the season's not even over with. I'm sure some of these names we're talking about will be out there, but my approach with free agency is basically until you get down to where you start hearing a little more about exactly who's going to be back. Would a team love to have Dez Bryant? Would a team love to have Demaryius Thomas? You know,
uh-huh.
And these are just names that are in contract with other teams. So the point is, usually with these big-time guys that really think they would shape the market, most teams figure out a way to get those guys back. So the answer is we shall see in early March what the absolute strongest areas in free agency would be.
At Connor Brock 6 asking, so how do you think your offense and defense has been this year compared to last year?
In 2015? Not bad.
That's right.
It's better.
Pretty
no,
good.
I think the defense was clearly better.
No doubt about it.
And you know, you get some kickback from fans on that a little bit of, oh, how could they finish 27th, 28th in the league? And, again, Gus was asked that at a season-ending press conference. And he said, you know, there were a few games early. they kind of skewed things. But they felt, and I think correctly so, that most of the areas that were leaky early, most of the things that really gave you a problem, which was the long passes early, some of the big plays, for the most part, in an NFL way, they got that worked out. And when I say in an NFL way, you're not going to go a whole season and never give up a big play.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to go a whole season and not have a couple of games where the other team passes for a lot of yards. The league is built for offenses to get loose at times. But for the most part, this defense looked and did its job, which I said at the beginning of the season, a lot of people around here did too. The job of the defense was to give the offense a chance to win games. Well, the offense was so young that it didn't take advantage of some of the opportunities it had to win games. But I think most people, when they looked at the defense, if you really looked at it, felt like this team gave itself a better chance defensively to win games than it did in 2013. And again, the offense clearly was not as good as last year, but you would think most of the step back was a matter of communication and experience between just almost a historic number of young guys offensively. And as tired as people get of hearing that, when you look back on 2014 from in 2 or 3 years, you're going to look at it and go, wow, how young was that? That really was the theme of that season.
83 rookie starts this year in both offense and defense.
Sure.
19 more than the second most team in the league. If you look at the other end of the spectrum,
right.
Denver had 5 rookie starts this
right.
year.
Right, which, again, you don't excuse me. Ideally, as Dave Caldwell said on Tuesday, you want to be in a situation going into the season where you don't feel forced to have rookies in your lineup. That if a rookie comes in and wins the job because he has to be there and you're like, wow, this is a guy we got to get in there, then fine. But you don't want to be sitting in training camp and saying, you know what, this guy's not ready, but we got to play him. So he believes, and again, if you look at the roster correctly so, that they won't be in nearly that situation going forward as they have been the last 2 years. He said it's not ideal to have to play those guys. We did. He expects that the roster, as it approaches regular season, will be much more able to not have so many rookies in the starting lineup or contributing early. And he's certainly smart enough to know that that's the way you want to be.
Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Pete Prisco coming up, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist in just a few minutes. Senior Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks. The Jaguars will coach the South team again in Mobile at Ladd Peebles Stadium. The Jaguars.com crew will be there again. Brian Sexton, you, Dave DeCandis, Patrick Cavanaugh will spend a week in Mobile. Always a fun week, always a little more intriguing, though, when the Jaguars are involved. And I know the coaching staff's off this week, except for Gus Bradley interviewing coordinators and such. But they'll all be back next week. Mm-hmm. And on Monday, get ready for that Senior Bowl and get a plan in place.
Well, and it's again, an exciting time for the coaches who go there because it truly is a chance for them to get to know some of these guys. And then when they get to the point in March and April where they're talking about these guys, there can be some serious dialogue between Dave Caldwell. Hey, what did you think of this guy? How was he in the room? How was he in practice? Did he give you everything you wanted to give? So they certainly thought that that helped with Telvin Smith. I don't think there's any way in the world Aaron Colvin is on this team.
No way.
If they hadn't seen him for that day at the Senior Bowl. And he made enough of an impression with his attitude, with his personality, with whatever, that they said, this is a guy worth taking a chance on. I'm sure there were guys, too, which doesn't get talked about a whole lot, I'm sure there were guys at the Senior Bowl that they stayed away from because they got in the room with the guy and said, you know what, this is not what we're looking for. So the more information, and I've gotten asked that question, do you think they'll have as big an impact with the draft this year with Senior Bowl guys? Well, you may not ever know because it may be that they pass on two guys that they don't believe are good fits here and that's the benefit they get out of the Senior Bowl.
Right.
So,
goes
as Gus
ways,
said,
right.
You really don't want to be having this conversation next year. But for right now, they're certainly enthusiastic about having the chance to do it again.
Let's talk season ticket renewals, Jags 365 members. The Jags have emailed your personalized 2015 season ticket renewal brochure. The January 16th deadline to renew is right around the corner. Renew now and enter to win amazing prizes, including a Shad Khan suite experience, appearances from Jacksonville and the Roar, and Super Bowl tickets. For information about your account, call 904-633-2000. Select option one. The Jaguars want to give you more this upcoming 2015 season. And the home schedule next year, of course, the divisional teams are here, Texans, Colts, and Titans. AFC East teams, the Dolphins are here. The Bills is a home game, but it's in London. And the NFC South team, the Panthers and the Falcons are here, and the Chargers come in from the AFC West. So renew those season tickets today. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. We go to the phone line now and welcome in our guest this afternoon, a familiar voice and name and face, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. Petey, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Doing well. I know you're getting ready to head off for the postseason run here for CBS Sports, but before we get to
Which game do you think I'm going to, by the way?
I bet you're going to chase your man crush, Peyton.
You got to be in Denver, right, Petey?
I'll be in Denver.
Of course you are. We'll get to that coming up. Coordinator searches. Do you follow all the hype and the names and the buzz, and what do you think so far of the Jaguars' names that have popped up?
Well, I think they're going to look to get it. You know, they want to run the ball more. So I think that's priority number one. And when you look at some of the guys that they're talking to, I think that's they're going to go in with the idea that, you know, whichever one says, okay, we're going to line up and run the ball more and then try and take shots down the field, then I think that's the guy they're going to go after. And, you know, Kirby Wilson's a good football coach, you know, not a play caller, so that would be a big step up for him. You know, Roman, I didn't like what he did on offense last year. And you got to remember, people keep saying, well, Dave Caldwell and Roman are tight and they went to school together and everything else, but he's not hiring them. At least you hope he's not. You hope Gus Bradley's doing the hiring. So I think that's something you got to throw out there. And then Trestman, to me, you know, his offense regressed last year, I thought, and so you got to kind of hang that one over him. But I still think there's going to be other guys in the mix. And you know, you're talking about guys that are on teams that might not be head, you know, coordinators right now, but might be position coaches that they'll look at.
Pete, let me ask you this. And we worked together a long time and had these sort of conversations. But when you look at a coordinator, by definition, you're almost always going to be getting a guy that the fans look at and say, well, he didn't have a very good year last year because he's out of a job, right? I mean, that's usually the kind of guy you're going to get. And so there's always going to be sort of that, yeah, but feeling. How much importance do you put on this process, and how do you know? When you look at a guy, how do you know if he's the right fit? Because it's tough because they come from so many different backgrounds, and success is so much based on the players they have on the field.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example. Even using a coordinator going to a head coach, remember Mike McCarthy was hired by the Packers. Everybody killed him because the offense stunk when he was the coordinator there. But he's a good football coach, and that's what you got to kind of look at. You got to look at a guy who's a good football coach that can grow. And to me, sometimes we get so caught up in the old guys and what have they done and look at that team. But there's circumstances involving them. I mean, what if you don't have the talent on offense? What if you don't have the talent on defense? You know, it's the same type of situation. So I think you want to come in and get a guy who's a good fit with what you want to do. Also, you know, can have the quarterback grow, because that's what this team is all about, growing the quarterback. And if he can do that, then that's and he's also one of the guys that you like to have, you know, around the facility and you like in your group, then I think that's the kind of guy you hire. Too many times, John, we get so caught up in who's the name guy and who isn't, and that's not always the case. I'll give you a name. Edgar Bennett. Edgar Bennett is the wide receiver coach in Green Bay. He was the running backs coach in Green Bay. He wanted to become more familiar with the entire concept of the offense, so he asked to move over to the wide receiver position. He's a local kid. He loves, you know, he knows the offense. He knows the Green Bay offense. And granted, that's not Seattle's offense where you line up and play power football, but it's get the ball out, you know, quick throws, and they've had great success with their quarterback. So I'm surprised that he's not a guy that they're mentioning. Maybe down the road he will be.
We got to figure he will be at some point, right, Pete?
Yeah, and I think he's ready. You know, when I talk to Mike McCarthy, they all say he's ready to be an offensive coordinator. You know, it's just he's not there. They have their guy, and then, you know, so we'll see what happens moving forward.
Pete Prisco is with us, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. Pete, let's go to social media now. I know you love the folks on Twitter, and they love you
back.
They
love me, too.
They do. At Terrence L. Hayes asking, is the offensive coordinator hire as important as the selection of Bortles last year? I guess the question would be, Pete, moving forward, this is a huge hire for Gus and the staff overall in their tenure here, right?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. It was a huge decision to get rid of the coordinator that you had. And, you know, in defense of Jed, it's hard to call plays when you got, you know, 6-7 rookies on the field at the same time and one or two of them are making a mistake on every play. But to see their point in it, I thought the offense at times was too horizontal. You guys know I've said that time and time again. I thought they bootlegged way too much. They, you know, the option had no business being in there. I know you could have success with it, but that's not what you're going to be going forward. So
Bortles can run, though, Pete. Come on.
I don't care. You're not winning that way. It's not sustainable. Everybody gets slower as you get older, and people get hurt when they run around the park, outside the pocket. Stop that. It's just a gimmick. It's not how you play football in the National Football League. And everybody will say Russell Wilson. You know what? He's going to slow down, too, eventually, or get hurt. You can't win consistently by running around. So get that out of the playbook and let him grow as a quarterback. If he doesn't grow as a quarterback, you know what? You drafted the wrong guy.
Let's go back to social media at PCPAustin84 asking, what's the most important thing needed to be done during this offseason besides hiring the offensive coordinator? What's the most important for the Jaguars after that, Pete?
Get older on offense and younger on defense. To me, and with that, I mean, you have to get some playmakers, an old veteran playmaker, not an old, but an older veteran playmaker on offense. You got to get tougher and meaner on the offensive line, get some guys in there that, you know, can show the young guys the ropes. And then on defense, you need to get athletic and faster, and that means younger. And that's the draft. You got to load up on the draft. People think I'm crazy when I say that, but you got to load up on the draft on the defensive side of the football.
Pete Prisco is with us, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. Let's talk playoffs now. Pete, of course, last week the headlines were the controversial calls in Dallas, or non-calls, whichever way you want to talk it. But what do you make of all that? Is that overblown last week?
You know, you could do that in every single game. It just so happened that it happened in a key time and everybody saw it. Should they have, you know, the way it played out, the call was probably offsetting. I mean, if you go back and look at it, the guy grabbed the mask of the linebacker and pulled him down. So it should have been offsetting. That's one thing. Two, they're just assuming that they're going in to score a touchdown and win the game. I mean,
that's,
you know,
true.
If they kick a field goal there, it's still only a 6-point game. So, yeah, there are circumstances there, but On the touchdown pass to Tate to open the game, there was a hold by Raiola. He almost pulled the guy down, and nobody called it. I just can't believe for the life of me that people are getting – yeah, I can. They're so outraged about the officiating. It happens all the time. You know, there's bad calls in every game. There's good calls in every game, and it all evens out and just so happens that the Lions can't win. Go, you got the ball back. Go win the game. You had the ball back. Matt Stafford had the ball back with plenty of time. Go win the game.
The one curious thing, though, Pete, I had never seen – the play get called by the official and then picked up. I thought that was really what sort of brought everybody's eyes to it, was sort of the sequence there. And you've covered, you know, probably as many or more games than I have. I hadn't seen that.
I have, and what they see is a guy will throw a flag from the away, and then three other guys will, you know, come in and say, no, you saw it poorly.
But after it's announced, I thought it was...
Yeah, that's the difference right there. But it's been picked up before,
sure.
But after it's announced, no. But, you know, then there's the old theory out there that, you know, Blandino was on the bus with the Cowboys and I mean, come on.
You love that stuff. That's right in your wheelhouse.
That was our story, by the way, at CBS. We were the ones that broke that story. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's – yeah, does the league prefer to have Dallas at Green Bay? Absolutely they do, and so do the networks. But I don't think you had time to go drive the football and you didn't go win it. So that's on the Lions.
Pete Prisco is with us. You mentioned the Cowboys and the Packers, but you're going to the Denver game. So what's the better matchup of premier quarterbacks, the Dallas-Green Bay game or the Indy-Denver game to you?
Well, Rodgers is the best. Peyton's probably second. Luck's probably third, and Romo's fourth. So I'm going to the better one, right? 2 and 3? Yeah, it's about the same, I guess. Look, they're both great games when it comes to quarterbacking. And you know what? I'll say this, too. You know, New England and Baltimore is a good quarterback game, too, because people dismiss Flacco. The guy's 10-4 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. There's something about him. He amps his game up. He's also 2-1 against Brady in the playoffs at Foxborough. There's something about him where he just turns it on in the postseason. So I think there's a good quarterback game. You know, the other one out in Seattle, that's going to be a defensive game.
I was about to say, you left that one out, Pete.
Well, because that's a defensive game. Those two defenses are going to get after it. Consider this. Those teams have played 3 times in the last 3 years, and Seattle's won by a combined 13 points. 13. You know, as dominant as they've been, they've only beat that team 3 times by a combined 13 points, and I think that one's going to be a low-scoring defensive game as well.
I'm curious about the Ravens and the Patriots, Pete, because the Ravens seem to be able to go to New England and get this done, but it changes so fast in the NFL and personnel changes over. Is this the same sort of matchup that they've been able to go get that done, or is there something about the Patriots this year that makes you think they're not going to be victim to the Ravens?
If the Ravens had Jimmy Smith in the secondary, I think they'd have a chance to go in there and win. That concerns me. The secondary is a mess. They're, you know, young kids. They're guys they picked up off the street. And so for that reason, I think it's going to be a lot tougher to do it this time around. But I'll say this. You get to the postseason, and your quarterback can make plays down the field like Flacco can. He's got to, always been good with the deep ball. And you got a good offensive line, which they do. And you have a defense that can rush the passer. You know this, John.
Right.
It's quarterbacks and pass rushers. And they got two edge guys that can get after Brady. And when you get after Brady, just like everybody else, he becomes a little jumpy. So, yeah, they can go in. I think they'll go in there. It'll be a tight game. I think they'll compete. But if they had Jimmy Smith, I think they can go in there and win.
Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
All right, fellas, enjoy it. And what are we getting ready, amped up for Senior Bowl and then Combine and then owners' meeting? Does it stop?
Never stops.
Well, I'm sure we'll cross paths a few times in the next few weeks. Tell Peyton hi for John, will you?
Yeah, I will. Guys,
Petey, thanks, buddy.
Joining us over the phone line. Of course, Jaguars Radio Thursday night on the radio home of the Jaguars, 1010XL. The Gus Bradley Show for two more weeks, 6 to 7 p.m. with this week. That might be a special guest this week. I don't know if Gus is going to be on the show with Jeff Lagerman.
So it's good to be special.
Listen for that. And then Jaguars Thursday, 7 to 8, myself, Lagerman, and Tony Vaselli. That's Thursday night, 1010XL at 92.5 FM. Our thanks to Pete Prisco. Always fun to visit with Pete.
Always good.
And I'm sure we'll run into him again in Indy, I'm sure, the Combine.
Absolutely.
We'll have him on a live show, as we always do. So a really strange week here, kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
This is always kind of a dead week in the league all around. But
sure.
Like Pete was saying, it'll get going quick.
Yeah, it's the calm before the storm, because as soon as you get a coordinator, then you can sort of figure out direction. You can figure out what's going on. You can start talking about how Blake will fit in. So, you know, obviously when you have a hole in the staff like that, you got to fill it before you can move on.
What's coming up this week for you on .com here?
I'd be doing some focus on the future, writing about Telvin Smith and you know, some rookies and second-year guys who you would think are going to step up. We'll be doing that for the next maybe week and a half until we hit the Senior Bowl, and then you know, you start getting into the draft already. And boy, that won't that be a fun 3.5 months?
Oh, can't wait.
It's 3.5 months. It'll feel like 10.
It always does, exactly, certainly right. This year. So that's it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Our thanks to Pete Prisco for joining us. For John Osier and everyone involved in the production, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. We'll talk to you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.